First up here this morning, Dakota Sports Saturday, we talk with Dan McCarty, head wrestling coach of the Huron Tigers, getting set for the final day of the season out in Rapid City with the combined Class A, Class B state wrestling tournaments. Huron Tigers have three in the semifinals today. They have one other in the wrestlebacks and then had two eliminated yesterday. And Dan, let's just kind of give the overall view of yesterday. Could have been better, could have been worse, I guess is the most neutral way of saying it.
Yeah, you're right. It really could have. Chipper Payson and Gabe Rieger had fantastic days. Chipper really looked good, very aggressive. You know, he got the pin right away and then he got a tech ball right away his next match. Payson was very good. He was dominating. He gave up the first takedown, and then after that he just started wrestling and really turned it on. Gabe Rieger, just his typical Gabe Rieger. He got the lead and kind of coasted from there. Next one, Tajay, he kind of froze in this quarterfinal match against Jared from Aberdeen, and then but he came back in a big way for his last match and was able to get a place for us. And you know, hopefully he can use that momentum and get us going up all the way from the third place.
Then a couple of guys got knocked out, or three guys actually. Danon Huber at 145, Matt Kotz at 170, and then Tristan Cardona at 220. Matt Kotz in particular, that's the one I'm sure he's looking back, especially now his career is officially over. Boy, there are just a couple of things I could have done yesterday.
Yeah, yep. It was he had the opportunity, I thought, in his quarterfinal match with Pure Kid. We got the takedown late in the second period quite easily. Third period, Matt tried to turn him at first, and then he let him go with about a minute left, and Matt got full takedowns, I think, after that quite easily. And I think if Matt would have cut him earlier, I think we could have got another takedown or two and tied him, possibly got into overtime, or maybe even got another takedown or won the match. Matt would have put him in the semifinals. Unfortunately, it didn't happen for us. And then in the wrestle back, he just lost another close one. We got the takedown late in the match, and unfortunately, we got reversed to our back and gave up the back points and knocked Matt out of the tournament.
And Danon Huber, 145, not quite the theatrics of Matt Kotz, but yet, you know, he had his chances too, especially in the first round.
Yeah, it was the ninth seed, and you know, that first match was so important for Danon to, you know, get that against the eighth seed, and it didn't happen. Danon lost a close one. He got made a mistake and got put on his back in the second period, gave up the 3-point near fall, and you know, difficult to come back from that. And unfortunately, Damon couldn't. He had a good second round match for us, won that one, and then lost to a tough Pure Kid in the respects to the placing round.
Then finally, Tristan Cardona at 220, of course, just got into the lineup right at the beginning of February after Parker Brewer had his season-ending injury. Wrestled well last week, and I don't know, did the lights get to him or something? You know, inexperienced guy, hopefully he learned something to carry over for next year.
Yeah, it was, and the thing was with Tristan, it's a big thing, you know, our backup guy steps in and gets a spot in the state meet, which is really good for Tristan. The next thing, it's, you know, you got to take advantage of your opportunity when you get into the state meet. It's, you know, went and try to get some wins in, and unfortunately we didn't get any wins in. Hopefully he uses that and then builds it to get better for next year.
Well, let's focus on the three guys now in the semifinals today. Again, we're talking with Dan McCarty, head coach here on Tiger Wrestling. Final day of the wrestling season today out there in Rapid City with the Class A, Class B combined. Chipper Schillingstad, 138, third place 2 years ago, was state runner-up last year. So if you want to do the stair-step thing, this would be the year. But boy, oh boy, does he, well, 138, one is a tough weight class, and two, he's got a tough draw today.
Yes, he does. It's he's got Lucas Anglin from Vermillion, who's returning state champ at 126 last year. I think Lucas Anglin tech falls or pins everybody he has wrestled this year, it seems like, except for Queen Cameron from Brandon Valley, who is the number one seed. He's also returning state champ, so Chipper has his hands full. You can never count Chipper out, though. If Chipper comes out and he's wrestling, as long as Chip stays within 14 points, he can pin his opponent. And you know, he's proven that before throughout his career, and you know, he's got to have that attitude today. He can't get down on himself if he gets behind. He just got to keep wrestling and look for that opportunity.
And has he ever wrestled Lucas Anglin? Vermillion's that one Class A team. I just don't know that we ever run across very much.
The only time we see him is at the Brandon Valley Tournament, and as far as I know, Chipper's never wrestled him. I don't know if they ever wrestled in youth wrestling or not, but as far as his high school career, I don't think he's ever wrestled him. I think it's really good for us. They've never seen Chipper wrestle. They don't know what he. I know. I'm sure they know what he does, but he hasn't been able to feel what Chipper does.
Well, it's moved to 152 now, and that's Tyson Lean. And again, like I said, along with Chipper and Gabe Rieger, who's coming up, another tough draw.
Oh, it is. And, you know, the thing with Tyson, he is such a fierce competitor. And Tyson, it's, you know, he had to sit out all of last year with that shoulder injury, and he keeps improving every time that he wrestles. His match against Madison today, with Nolan Johnson, Tajay Jenkins Harris wrestled him last year in the semifinals. Tajay was able to come away with the win, but this Johnson's a very good wrestler, just looking at some results throughout the year. The thing is that he's lost to some kids that Tyson has beat, and then he's also turned around and beat those guys, so it seems like he keeps improving throughout the year also, which should make for a really good semifinal match. It's, you know, Tyson, he's just got to relax and wrestle. It's, you know, he's been in these spots with youth wrestling before. He's a state champion there, and, you know, hopefully he can use that experience to help him today and, you know, maybe come away with a win in the semifinals.
You know, it's one thing I was just going to bring up, too. Tyson, as opposed to Chipper that we just talked about and Gabe Rieger coming up, the other two have been in this situation before, but Tyson, not so much.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's different for Tyson. You know, he started for us as a 7th and 8th grader. He just started for us, qualified for the state meet as an 8th grader. You know, he got in here, he got his experience in, sat out all of last year, and then now this year he just keeps improving. And, you know, you watch him, he's going to find a way to win. And when you wrestle Tyson, you make sure you go 6 minutes, because he's going to go for the 6 full minutes, and he's going to get everything he possibly can out of it.
Then finally, Gabe Rieger at 182, a couple of nice matches to win yesterday, but again, another tough draw, and, well, Gabe is... faced this guy a couple of times and not the greatest results.
No, there hasn't been. Both times Gabe wrestled, the first one was a quick first period pin, and the second one was a quick second period pin. And both did not turn out favorable for us. But the other thing is, it is the state meet, and crazy things happen at the state meet. You know, we started to get with yesterday against other teams and with other competitors, and hopefully the guys will turn and good things will happen for us at that weight.
Then finally, mentioned Tajay again, too. Tajay Jenkins-Harris in the wrestlebacks at 160. He will could still place as high as third place. And, well, I know you know his next round opponent. After that, you know, it's just kind of a crapshoot going through those wrestlebacks. Bottom line is, you win, you keep moving on, you keep getting a chance for a better place.
Yep, and it's Tajay's got a tough one today. It's the first match with Alec Bean from Millbank. Tajay wrestled him in our tournament a couple weeks ago and ended up beating him. The thing is, it's tough in these wrestlebacks when your whole season is set for a state championship and you lose, and then you have to come back. And, you know, it was very tough for Tajay yesterday to wrestle that match against Ben Overshield from Mitchell, but Tajay went out there, he got himself mentally prepared for it, wrestled a fantastic match in the wrestlebacks. Now he has to continue that after he has a night to sleep on it, and, you know, hopefully that he's going to be mentally prepared for it again today. That, you know, and Tajay's got a lot of wrestling experience, so hopefully he can use that past experience that'll help him win this next match.
And we'll just wrap it up with this final day of this wrestling season. I know I mentioned it to you last week, too. Hard to believe. Seems like it was just December 1st. We were just up in Watertown for that dual tournament to kind of open the season. You end up with 7 at the state tournament. You've got a couple of guys that are making runs here. Just talk about this season overall. Obviously, we'd like to have a few more kids, a few more Huron Tigers at that state tournament. Give credit to these 7 that did make it, though. They've worked hard and got themselves to where they wanted to be on this weekend.
Yeah, it's, you know, time flies when you're having fun, and, you know, it's fun. It's, you know, I've enjoyed it. It's been some difficult times with the kids not making weight, kids being injured, things like that, having to postpone meets because of the weather. But, you know, it's been fun. The season flies by, and it's hard to believe that you start wrestling and practice in November, and all of a sudden it's right now, it's a state meet. It's these kids, you know, they work hard in practice. They work just as hard as every Huron Tiger wrestling team that I've ever had. It's you know, sometimes the brakes go for us, and sometimes the brakes go against us. And, you know, it seems like this year a lot of the brakes went against us. It's just unfortunate the way it happens. And but the four kids that we've got wrestling today, I think they have an excellent chance of placing high. And, you know, they've been our most, these are the guys that we count on all year for us in the matches and tournaments. And they're doing it again today. And hopefully they continue wrestling hard and find a spot up in that in the state championships tonight.
Dan McCarty, head coach here on Tiger Wrestling. They get set for the final day of the wrestling season today. Three in the semifinals day. Chipper Schillingstad at 138. Tyson Lean at 152. Gabe Rieger at 182. Plus Tajay Jenkins-Harris at 160 will be placing today as high as third. So we'll have reports later today and wrap up our coverage of here on Tiger Wrestling for this season. We'll take a time out here, come back here on Tiger Girls Basketball coming up next on Dakota Sports KOKK. And we're back here on Dakota Sports Saturday Talk here on Tiger Girls Basketball now with head coach Tim Budenhagen. The Tigers coming up a loss Tuesday against Harrisburg. We'll host Pierre to wrap up the regular season tonight. And, Coach, let's just kind of go to a Tuesday. I thought for 12 minutes you had a good game plan against Harrisburg. We were up by 1 point about midway through the second quarter. We're getting them frustrated in some spots. They're forcing up some shots. Bottom line is they got so much firepower that last 4 minutes, second quarter, a 17-2 run, and they go on to the victory.
Yeah, 17-2 run, and then we didn't score. That I think that hurt us more than anything else. I can't remember the score. I think it was 34-18 or something like that at halftime. And if we continue to score, get to 20, get to 24, somewhere in there, then we got a chance. But we just stopped scoring. We lost number one. In the first half, she got a couple easy looks at threes. I thought their offensive rebounding really hurt us, especially when they send two to the backside and we only could box out one and one was free. If we play them again, we'd have to go back to the tape and see how they maneuvered that so that we could combat that. But, you know, I thought our girls executed the game plan to begin with, but when they start hitting shots and getting second rebounds and we couldn't score, that then it's really difficult to beat a good team.
You know, when you came out with a zone, I know you said that's a word that isn't even in your vocabulary, in your dictionary, but sometimes you just have to go with what you feel fits best for the personnel you have, especially when the personnel is a lot of 5'6".
Yeah, absolutely, and we thought that was the best, you know, we thought that was the best defense for us. Is to zone them up, keep Sammy in the middle of the paint, so that she doesn't have to stray outside of that position, so she can rebound. Obviously, she's one of our better rebounders. We want to keep her close to the basket. When we bring Holt, Brooke, Melissa in, same thing. Then they would be close to the basket. They don't have to stray from their lane. They don't have a lot of responsibility outside. Keep the ball out of the paint. Body somebody up that's cutting. Like Yugovsky, you know, we got to body her up a little bit better than what we did. We kind of let her have free reign. But next time we'll be a little bit better prepared because we'll have four days of practice instead of just one and trying to throw this all in on a Monday afternoon, because it was only 1 day of practice and then throw this zone together, because we've been running a couple different zones and neither one fit us for Harrisburg on Tuesday night.
Now, Pierre comes in tonight, and they're definitely in a must-win situation for them. We are very comfortable that we'll be in the SODAC 16. It's just a matter of what seed we could. We could be anywhere, I suppose, 13 to 16 when everything's said and done. And there's still games to go next Monday and Tuesday as well. So there's a lot of variables in there. I know we played a tight game. One out in Pierre right at the beginning of this month, if I remember right. They had a chance to win it at the end. Their three went off. But I know that was kind of a plucky effort that night for our girls, because we didn't lead very often, but we did in the final 30 seconds.
Yeah, we didn't shoot the ball very well. Peard has a tendency to do that. They did that against Aberdeen Tuesday night. It was 14-2 middle of the third or middle of the second quarter. Peard only had 2 points. Aberdeen only had 14. Peard has a tendency to do that to you because right now they're getting up into you, pressing full court, trying to trap you all over the court. They force you into making some bad decisions because of the aggressive power and the aggressive defense, and it just never quits. It's continually on you, and then if you break down, you're going to turn the ball over. I thought out there, same thing. They got into us early. They were physical with us. We're going to spread the floor a little bit better this time, open up the lane, because I think the more aggressive you are, that's going to allow us to rip and get by you and get to the rim if we can spread the court. I didn't think we shot the ball particularly well against Pierre Haven. You know, Haven had a nice night for us. I thought Sammy had a pretty good night ripping and getting to the basket on Rath. So I think there's a couple of potential things that we could take advantage of there, but we're going to have to score the ball. Tenley, Bella, Haven, they got to get hot from the outside. Kylie, we got to start shooting the ball better from the outside, and that's got to start tonight.
You know, and at this point for us, obviously you want to win just to improve any possible seeding, but as much as anything else, this is also the final tune-up, because next Friday you'll go somewhere, you'll play somebody that probably has a little bit of size advantage on us, but you obviously want to go into that single postseason game feeling good about yourself.
Absolutely. You know, this gets us to 4-4 for the month, be a 500 month. I know that doesn't sound like a great record, but for us, where we started this year, and to cap it off with a win tonight and a 4-4 month of February, which is almost half our season in 1 month, I mean, that would be big for us, I think. And like you said, we could finish anywhere from 13th to 16th, depending on how other games go and how we do tonight. So, you know, maybe we get somebody that will with a little less size. If we can move up to that 13-14 position. So it's a big game for us. You know, as big as there has been for a while for girls basketball. So we're pretty excited to be in that position. If you're 5 and whatever we are now, 12, I think, if you're 5-12 and you can play for something, you have your destiny in your hands, that's all you can ask for.
You know, and bottom line, you know, everybody's kind of looking to see where would we play. You keep looking at that Activities Association webpage, but really, what are the chances we'll know tonight, or at least have a pretty good idea? I assume slim and none just because of a couple of games. I think there's even one or two postponements there that are set for Monday, Tuesday.
Well, I think the Aberdeen game's a big one that we have to look at. Other than that, I don't know if there's that many. I think all the Sioux Falls schools are done, so that should all shake out. Harrisburg's done. Brookings obviously has a game on Monday, so that might cause some shakeup. But we should at least know what spot we're in, I think, come tonight for the most part.
And just overall, you know, all the work goes to this now single game. Obviously, you went through it for the first time last year with the boys. You do a lot of preparation. It's like, what we end up with now, 19 games. It's a 19-game preparation for one game on the 1st of March. And I guess the first thing is with this team, we had a lot of girls that played last year, did not win a game. I guess probably one of the overriding emotions is let's be happy about this that we're in, but then let's not be happy to be there. Let's go to compete.
Well, the nice thing is any team that's going to play us is going to overlook us. So that's a benefit that we have. We have nothing to lose, everything to gain. We can spread it. We can shoot it. We can pack in a zone, make you shoot from the outside. So, I mean, we got a lot of different things that we can do to another team, which you know as well as I do. If you're in that position playing a lower seeded team, you're expected to win. A little bit more pressure on you, a little tighter. You know, the ball doesn't go in as easy. So if we can make shots tough to begin with, and then take care of the rebounding, limit them to one shot, spread it, shoot it well enough, you know, maybe we could put a scare into somebody. And that's all you can ask for from our girls.
And we'll just wrap it up with this final game of the regular season. Talk about the advances this team has made. I just think back to that first game we played out of the holidays. I know you were very discouraged with where you were at that time, but obviously with picking up some wins here, three wins so far here in the month of February, the girls, you know, were on board here. It's just a little bit of just getting buying into the system and getting where we need to be.
Well, you're right. I mean, I think we have to establish a better system because right now, you know, defensively we're hodgepodge. We're trying to make adjustments to team's personnel instead of sticking with one system. So we're kind of losing some defensive philosophy and how we want to, you know, push girls to a sideline or to the middle. And we don't want to help ball side, but we've had to scrap some of, you know, our schematic things on defense in order to fit our personnel this year. So next year, hopefully we can get to a system where we can just stick with one system and everybody knows the guidelines. It's a little bit easier to put together week to week. I think, you know, the heart and the soul of the team, they battle every night. They work hard. The effort's there. And now it just becomes a skill thing. Our skills have got to be a little bit better, especially our ball handling and shooting skill. If we can turn those things around, you know, there's better days ahead for us. But this year, you know, the progression from day one to now is like night and day. We can run things. We can talk about things, and we can make adjustments. I think the girls have come a long way in that aspect of knowing what we want to do, what we're scheming, what we want to take advantage from the other team. The seniors been great. You know, they've given us a lot of good leadership, enthusiasm. They've never backed down. They've never quit, which says a lot about them. So, you know, I think we've come a long way. There's still a long way to go, but at least we're making some baby steps to becoming more successful.
Tim Budenhagen, head coach here on Tiger Girls. They wrap up the regular season tonight. 7 o'clock tip-off with Pierre. Again, the girls will be on Tiger 95 tonight as they have the home game at the arena. The boys will be on KOKK with the road game to Brookings. And, of course, we'll have some updates here coming up on Tiger 95 as well with state wrestling out in Rapid City. I have Dave Corcoran out there holding down the fort for that this weekend as well. We'll talk here on Tiger Boys Basketball next on Dakota Sports, KOKK. And we're back here on Dakota Sports Saturday. Now talk here on Tiger Boys Basketball with head coach John Scouten. The Tigers getting set for their regular season finale tonight, the makeup game from last week with Brookings in Brookings tonight. We'll get to that coming up. Huron's coming off a couple of tough losses here a week ago last night to Watertown, then this past Tuesday at Harrisburg. And John, that's just one of those things, I guess, you know, we controlled our own destiny as far as getting a home game. Still not out the door, but it's going to be difficult now. And bottom line is the two teams we're kind of tussling in with for that position. Well, those are the last two teams we played, and, well, they got us.
Yeah, you know, I think Coach Budenhagen said it best. You know, last week, you know, he made the comment about controlling your own destiny and not really wanting help from other teams. You know, you just want to be able to do it yourself. And we had those opportunities against Watertown and against Harrisburg, and unfortunately fell short on both ends of those. And now we're going to need a little help if we want that home game. You know, Brookings is a must-win for us if we want any shot at a home game. And then, you know, you see how other things play out. But, I mean, I've told our kids, you know, time and time again, I'd love to be able to play in the Huron Arena, but at the end of the day, we're in the field of 16, and you get hot at the right time, and anything can happen.
Well, you look at those last two games, you know, I compared after the Harrisburg game. I felt maybe Harrisburg felt a little bit like the Watertown game. We trailed most of the game, yet you felt like we had our chances, which we did. But I know you said you felt the effort just seemed to be a little better. The intensities seemed to be a little better down in Harrisburg Tuesday than it was in our home game against Watertown.
Right, you know, you know, you look at that and you go, okay, Watertown, you know, they were the unknown coming in because, you know, we hadn't played them yet that year or this year. And so you don't really know what they have other than what's on film. And so for our kids, you know, came out a little flat. played catch up the whole game. You know, again, gave ourselves a chance at the end. Just, you know, shot didn't go in, and such is life. You know, I thought our intensity was a little bit more directed from the start against Harrisburg, because, you know, because of what they had done to us the first time we played with the 30-point drubbing, and I felt like the urgency was the level of urgency was a lot higher in our kids. I like the focus. I like the intensity. You know, some of the execution stuff could have been cleaned up. But overall, you know, I mean, Harrisburg and Watertown both are very, very good teams, very experienced, have good shooters, have good size, you know, and they're going to be tough battles. So, you know, for our kids, I was very proud of how they fought the other night in Harrisburg.
You know, the thing with Harrisburg, really, it came down to maybe, for lack of a better term, a couple of defensive breakdowns, you know, and, you know, a big three that Harrisburg gets in the second quarter counts just as much as it did there with the Hoyt kid getting a couple in a row there in the fourth quarter, you know, and you felt like you wanted to look at him. I thought for the most part we held him down, but yet there he still was with five threes and 16 points, but all it is just that little breakdown here and there. Somebody doesn't switch. Somebody floats away from where they're supposed to be. You know, just little things like that end up being big things when two teams are pretty close.
No, you're exactly right. You know, the separation between good and great is so small. The details is what you really got to focus on. And, you know, we try to go a little zone just to throw them off a little bit, a couple possessions here and there throughout the first half. And, you know, I thought we did a decent job of communicating, but not good enough. We weren't very active in our zone in terms of where's Hoyt at? Is he baseline? Is he out high? Where is he floating around? He does such a great job getting lost behind the scene. And a couple times he made us pay. We got caught watching, or we got screened on the backside, and we weren't paying attention. And they skipped it over too many of the three. You know, I thought Slaughter, you know, in terms of his defense, you know, I think he had five or six steals on us. You know, just uncharacteristic, not paying attention, just kind of throwing it to the wing, assuming it's going to be there. And, you know, he's 6'5", athletic, got long arms, reached his hand up there, stole a couple, got a couple easy layups. You know, beginning of that fourth quarter, that's kind of what happened. But we turned it over twice, got two easy baskets going to the rim. And against a good team like that, senior-laden team like that, you can't do those kind of, you can't commit those kind of errors. You got to play not perfect, because no one's going to play perfect, but you got to play as darn close to that as you can and eliminate as many of those mistakes as possible.
You know, and one thing that kind of gets lost in the shuffle, and yeah, I know it's an excuse, and yeah, it happens to all teams, but, you know, we were a little shorthanded again Tuesday. Tanner Evers still out with that ankle. Derek Simmons left after the JV game as he was under the weather as well. So, you know, those are two guys kind of that do the same thing. Tanner normally a starter, Derek off the bench, and you know, they would have been the matchup a lot of times against that big Phipps kid underneath. He had 16 points off the bench, all from close range. And, you know, that kid had a nice combination, though, muscle and also some nice touch around the basket. But, you know, those are a couple of guys that obviously could have made a difference.
Absolutely. You look at Tanner, you know, he's a senior. He's averaging 9-10 points a game. And we talked, you know, when he went down originally, you know, we're not going to get that kind of offensive scoring production out of just one guy. But, you know, I like you said, that's two big bodies that we could have had to mix in there with Colton and Cooper, you know, Blake, and then Blake kind of tweaked his knee there in that third quarter and then didn't really want to give it a go. So, you know, those are two bodies that we definitely missed. But at the same time, you know, we had it was a two-point game with 4.5 minutes to go, and the Phipps kid went inside and shook us and went to his left hand, which we wanted him to do. Would have liked to see a little bit more resistance in terms of, you know, making him shoot it over us. We bodied him up and he kind of spun off us quite a bit. But, you know, credit those guys. They kept going to him. He got hot. He made the shots inside. You know, and again, you know, from a strategy standpoint, I didn't want to double them very much just because they are good passers. They got such great shooters on the outside. I didn't want to risk giving up a stand-in, catch alone three. You know, so we chose to let him go one-on-one, and he happened to be better than us throughout the course of the game.
You're talking with John Scout, head boys basketball coach for the Huron Tigers, as they get set to close out the regular season tonight, the makeup game with Brookings. And first talk a little about that. This game was originally scheduled for a week ago Tuesday, got snowed out. It was a boys and girls home and away. Girls game got rescheduled to Thursday. We know what happened there. A boys game got scheduled to tonight. And, you know, that was really kind of your choice, and I can see the thinking for sure. Otherwise, we would have been done after the Harrisburg game Tuesday and then would have waited a week and a half before we got on the court again. It's good to get another game in here and then have a week to prepare instead of a week and a half to where you might be twiddling your thumbs a little bit.
Yeah, I'm not opposed to having this game scheduled where it is. We would have liked to have scheduled the way it was, but Mother Nature's kind of wreaked havoc on us here this month. And for our kids, get back late from Harrisburg, give them Wednesday off, practice Thursday, Friday. You got another opportunity against a really good team, a team that's looking to make some noise in their own right in the postseason. Got really good athletes across the way, and you look at that and you go, that's another opportunity for us to get better, to prove something to ourselves going into the postseason. And we still have Monday through Friday. We're not going to know who we play officially until Tuesday night anyway. Because there's games Monday and Tuesday still, so that would have been a long time, practicing Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, giving them a weekend off and then practicing again. Rust sets in kind of back to the beginning of the season, kind of layoff. On the other hand, would it be nice to have that just because of the illness, because of the injuries we have? Absolutely. But, we got the game rescheduled and we got to be ready to go tonight against a very good Brookings team. And then we'll worry about next week, when it comes.
In Brookings, I don't have their schedule in front of me, but I believe they have 4 wins, maybe 5 wins on the season. But boy, they're kind of like Mitchell down there, Mitchell with 1 win, but Mitchell and Brookings have played a lot of close games. They just haven't been able to win very many of them.
Yeah, I think they've got 4 or 5 wins, and they took O'Gorman down to the wire. O'Gorman had to hit a 3 with 3 or 4 seconds left to pull out that win. They're playing really well, They played Yankton solidly. We're going to have to make sure that we're ready to go because, again, you got seniors across the way that, it's the last time they're playing in their home gym, and that means something to those kids. And so if we don't have the level of urgency we did against Harrisburg, we're going to be in for a long night.
And just to wrap it up here, we kind of touched at it at the beginning. Right now, everything's up in the air as far as that SODAC 16 goes as it stands at this moment. We would be on the road. Could be a couple of different teams. We still have a shot to host a game, but we probably would need some help. But first things first, a win tonight or else we don't really have to care what anybody else does.
Right. And that's been our message along with the guys, all year long. You can get really distracted paying attention to all the noise outside, but the bottom line is we got to make sure we're taking care of ourselves. And so, what we're looking for tonight, we're looking to play, a high intensity level on defense, talking, communicating, moving the ball, getting multiple passes on offense, sticking shots, playing well together. And then, like I said, however it shakes out, if we're on the road, we're on the road. If we're at home, we're at home. Bottom line is you got one game to get in the state tournament, and you got to be able to put your best foot forward come that SODAC 16 night.
John Scouten, head coach here on Tiger Boys Basketball. Makeup game with Brookings coming up tonight. That game will be here on KOKK with a 7 o'clock tip-off. Here on Tiger Girls closing out the regular season at home hosting Pierre. That'll be on Tiger 95, also with a 7 o'clock tip-off.